Thomas David Salon is one of Southern Delaware's premier full-service salons, located in the upscale Painter's Mill Shopping Center in Milton, Delaware. You will be treated to an amazing experience by one of Thomas David's highly trained and super friendly stylists. From a haircut to a color and even waxing, Thomas David's welcoming environment has you covered. To make an appointment, call 302-827-2466.
3, 2, 1. What's up, dog?
Yo.
How did you get a Pearl Jam shirt from the Seattle Seahawks? I mean, what?
I know people.
I mean, but is that I guess they're from Seattle. So I guess they had some pull.
Pearljam.com.
Because that is clearly the Seattle Seahawks head on top of that Batman wing.
Isn't that cool?
It's very cool.
Yeah, yeah. I actually like your t-shirt too, back in black.
Thank you, brother.
That is awesome. You actually have pretty cool t-shirts. And I learned today. Spin the black circle. I'm taking a picture of your arm. That is awesome.
You didn't know I had that.
Well, you have a lot of tattoos. And when people have a ton of tattoos, I kind of lose, like, okay, there's a lot.
I really don't. You know what? I really don't. I have, like, 4 or 5. I don't have that many. I mean, there's plenty of room for more.
Sure. But it kind of looks from a distance almost like an arm sleeve.
But that is spin the black circle.
That is super cool. Okay.
That's my dedication to the band.
You are. Okay. I didn't realize that. Okay. That is.
You want to show your Pearl Jam tattoo? Oh, you don't have one. I'm sorry.
I have this one.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, see that? The old tribal dog.
It's actually my two kids. So it's two C's in the shape of a wave because I surf.
Okay.
Yeah.
And flex.
Yeah. You want to go to the gun show?
Do you watch Hard Knocks?
Hard Knocks. Sometimes.
Have you been watching the new season with the Raiders?
Oh, I haven't seen it. I saw the one with, watched the season with Cowboys. Yeah, I haven't seen the new one. Is it out already?
No, the new season is with the Raiders.
Right.
Shot the first episode. Now I'm waiting for the second one. But Derek Carr, he shows up at training camp with his sleeves rolled up, and he's got baby oil on his arms. And they're like, is that baby oil? No, it's sunblock. He goes, dude, that is baby oil. He goes, well, if you'd work on your triceps a little more, maybe you'd roll your sleeves. It just was funny. Anyway. I know you love sports. You made that clear. But are you a big football fan?
I am. Huge NFL and NBA is kind of my two primaries. Tennis, I'm a huge tennis fan.
Are you an Eagles fan?
I'm born in Philadelphia, homie. Bleed all four of those teams. Not so much the Flyers, because I am a fan. But I would say Eagles 1, or probably Eagles 1, Sixers 2, Phillies 3, Flyers.
I don't like the Eagles.
No.
But I did root for them when they were in the Super Bowl.
Of course you did. Why would you want the Patriots to win again?
Well, I like Tom Brady. I like the Patriots. I mean, the biggest argument, I think, for anybody that doesn't like Tom Brady is that he wins too much.
I'd like Tom Brady. The Patriots just keep winning, you know?
But that's why we don't like him, just because of the amount of
times they won. Super Bowl, right. You know? So now you're actually going to watch the Super Bowl for the commercials because you're sick of seeing Tom Brady or Patriots.
No, I get it. And but I'm just clarifying, that's why you don't like him, is because of the amount of times they've won.
Yeah, it's envy and jealousy. I'm jealous.
If the Eagles won that many times, would you not like them?
Why? Are you kidding me, man? I'd be wrapping my car with the Eagles, man. Hey, come on, what are you talking about? Eagles tattoo?
I do love, there was that, I don't know if you ever saw the commercial where it shows the guys walking and the one guy's like, yo, there's a baby in the car.
I saw that.
And commercial. They're like, bust the window, call the cops. And then the one guy's like, oh, I think he's wearing a Dallas jersey. Forget it. And walks off.
That's so wrong.
That is so wrong.
That's so wrong. That's an actual commercial.
I saw it, and we should try to. You should see if you can bring it up.
Oh my gosh, that is hysterical.
It is funny because that's how they are. You definitely don't want to wear, if you're like the opposing team's jersey, at an Eagles football game, because they will straight pummel you.
Yes.
And especially you don't want to wear a Cowboys jersey.
And they'll pummel each other. I've seen fans go out at each other. I've seen it at, I actually went to the Green Bay Eagles game, championship game when they went to the Super Bowl, and this father-son walked, they were losing, and they wanted to leave early to beat the parking and get out of there.
Stop it. Stop it.
And they intercepted the ball last minute, and got the ball back, and the father-son tried to come back into the game, and the two guys were like, nope, you're not getting back to your seats. I was like, oh, it's going to get a little saucy in here.
Yeah, and they'll punch a kid. They don't care. Man. Yeah, it's, go see if you can just type in funny Eagles commercials. Philadelphia, yeah. Eagles commercials, yeah. Let's see what this is here.
It's pretty funny. Are you a big sports man?
Yeah, I think we've talked about that. I mean, I don't own any New jerseys. I love football.
You said you're not like a sports guy so much. You watch golf, you said?
I watch anything that's entertaining at the moment. Like yesterday, you know, they're having the FedEx Cup's kind of winding down. I'm a huge Tiger fan. It's really a Tiger's kind of put us on a roller coaster. You know, we were up and then he kind of went down. And then I was like, okay, he's done. And then he comes back, and then he goes down. And then I'm like, finally, he's over. It's no more Tiger. I'm going to let that go. And then he comes back, and then he wins the Masters. So then I'm like, you know, he's going to win the Grand Slam this year. This is it. And then he can't put a great score together ever since. And I'm finally like, and then the Northwestern tournament or whatever it was last week, you know, he dropped out after the first round. And I was like, and part of me is like, good, because then I don't have to watch. You know, I don't have to have my hopes up and to watch him, you know, not do well. Well, he's back this week, and he was 2-under yesterday, and the leader was at 6-under.
What tournament is this?
It's the BMW.
Oh, okay.
So
Classic or whatever.
Yeah, but it's the top third. You know, the golf FedEx Cup is interesting because you can literally win the Masters. If you win a tournament, you're in, into the FedEx Cup tournament. So Tiger was in. He really hasn't played much. He missed the cut for like the Open and the British Open or the, what is it now? The
U.S. Open.
No, they used to call it the British Open. Now they call it the, whatever it is, but the old British Open. But, he, you know, he's missed the cut a few times. But here he is. He's still in the, you know, I think it was the top 45, and now I think it's the top 35, and Tiger's 38th. So he literally has to battle his way into the tournament this weekend. So we'll see if he can hang in there. But so I enjoy that, but I don't watch golf every weekend.
I only watch it when Tiger's on.
Exactly. I watch
or Tiger. If I want to get ready for a nap. Yeah. No, I'm being serious. It's absolutely really soothing. You know, the guys are they were on the ninth hole.
that clap is oh, right. So nice.
Well, you know, it cracks me up that these guys in the broadcast booth are whispering.
Yeah.
Who can hear them? Right. You know what I mean?
I think it sets the tone. I think we all kind of hunch down. Shh, shh. Everybody shh.
It's kind of like, I do a practical joke with my wife and kids when I call the house or whatever. Guys, I'm in the library. You guys are going to have to speak slowly and quietly. So they're on the phone whispering to me.
So when it comes to, I've been enjoying the preseason, but. And it's, you know, it's weird as for me, as I get older, I start thinking about things differently. And, you know, because I am a Cowboys fan, but, you know, so Ezekiel Elliott is where? Cabo. He's holding out.
Right.
For contract stuff.
Right.
So what I noticed in the preseason game with the Cowboys, which lost, is they ran a lot of running backs. They were running backs, trying to figure out a solution to this. I think ideally they'd just like to find a new running back and just say bye-bye.
Right.
But you know, so I'm interested in certain things but that doesn't mean that I have to watch every football game. And I don't like baseball and I don't like basketball.
I like baseball in November. I like football. I love football. I can watch. I mean, to me, I've done pretty extreme things to get to an Eagles game around here when it wasn't broadcasted on regular local TV.
Do you know Tom Jones?
The singer?
No, the guy that owns Irish.
No, I don't know him.
Tom Jones, he owns Irish Eyes, and his wife is a school teacher at Rehoboth Elementary. Did your kids ever go there?
Yeah, they both graduated from there.
Charlene Jones, best teacher I've ever met.
No
offense to any other teachers, but she did so much for my son David as far as her reading program. But they have a little Eagles bus.
Oh,
and one of
nice.
The things is if the kids do well in reading, they take, you know, this top five or top three, I don't know. But they take them on the Eagles bus to Irish Eyes for dinner.
Right.
Which is
that is awesome.
Is a great.
Do they have season tickets? Do they go up with the Eagles bus and stuff?
Yeah, he owns Irish Eyes.
Yeah, that's awesome.
He's probably.
So Albuquerque is Dallas is the team for Albuquerque.
Well, isn't that what the Cowboys are about? It's America's team. It's whatever. There was nothing left.
Oh my God.
What do you think we had to
come over there and choke you?
yuccas?
What do you follow in Albuquerque? Oh, no one.
Stop it. You know why? Because when you're in Albuquerque, you're outside doing stuff.
You know,
enjoying.
Let's talk about the
land of enchantment.
That's true. Like that's why it's kind of a my mom's side of the family is on the West Coast, and they all have East Coast envy, right? Because there's an East Coast favoritism for ESPN and Fox Sports because there's hardcore fans are what they say in the cold weather areas.
Right.
So, but yeah, I make fun of my friends in Miami and San Francisco. You guys are out doing yoga during the Super Bowl.
Right.
Come on now. Like you're not into it. You know, it's fair weather. You know, they're out in their bicycles and they're out enjoying the weather. And we're out here cold eating our cheesesteaks.
Well, and that is outside. Funny that you say that because actually I moved here from San Diego.
The best weather in the world. You know, San Diego, the 100-mile radius, I think, around San Diego is considered the best weather in the world.
Yep. And I would, if that's the weather you think is the best, then you're right. That is the best weather. But living there and having it be 78 degrees at Christmas, it's a little weird. I mean,
In New Mexico?
New Mexico has four seasons.
Oh, it does?
Yeah, it's 5,000 feet.
Oh, you get snow and stuff.
Absolutely. There's a ski resort there.
Well, I know there's skiing in the mountains there, but like I thought like in the Southwest, it's generally dry, and I kind of blanket that statement a little bit. In the Southwest is.
And it is, but everything is based, and you don't really think about that because where we live, but out there it's all based on elevation. You could be in Phoenix,
gotcha.
And it could be 115. You go to Flagstaff, and you need a sweater.
Well, every time you mention Albuquerque, I'm thinking of an RV in the middle of a desert, and you're cooking.
It's because you think cooking meth.
That's exactly, I hate to say it, man. One of my favorite all-time series, Breaking Bad, one of my favorite all-time. Not even close. There's not even a close second.
So when you watched Breaking Bad, did you notice the expanse of the sky and the clouds and the openness? Yeah. That's the enchanting. You know, New Mexico is a land of enchantment.
Right. I consider Arizona the same way. I feel like in that way, too.
But it's always like, and Albuquerque kind of sets on a tilt. So you're either always looking at the mountains or you're looking at the valley and the plains. It's always like, I wonder what's going on over there.
Yeah.
You know, it allows the mind to just go on adventures without even...
That's a great point. I don't think it's promoted enough. I think from Texas to California, there's a black hole that no one talks about.
Right.
Arizona, New Mexico, that whole corridor. And there's Vegas in the middle of all that, I guess. But, like, I just don't know much. You know, growing up in the East Coast, I don't think of those Western... They call it the Great West. Yep. Outside of Colorado, right? Yep. I just don't know much. No one talks about it.
Well, to me, and this is my personal feeling, is that anybody that's gone, especially in the early days, the people that went west had that spirit of adventure. You know,
of course,
weren't content with just sitting here.
Yeah.
They're like, what is over there?
Right.
Let's go find out at any cost.
And that's why it's more liberal in California and the West, because it is more adventurous. Absolutely. The weather's great. I only hear those states, honestly, during election time. It's like these are the swing states.
You know, you got to go. You need to go there. We should go there.
No, I've been to there. I've been there, but it's like never.
Been to Albuquerque?
I haven't been maybe in the airport, but I've been to Arizona, been to obviously California.
They're different.
Yeah.
They're different.
Yeah.
Big time. I mean, Mesa, Arizona is it's like New York City
in
the desert.
Right.
It's not, you know, Albuquerque is a lot more. Food, a lot more art. I don't think, you know, a lot of artists go to Santa Fe. Santa Fe is great. But at the same time, there's a lot of poverty. So it's, you know, it has its ups and downs. But I love Albuquerque. We're talking about trying to get there in September.
You still have family there?
I don't have any family there. But I have a lot of friends still there.
Yeah.
I have a lot of friends that I grew up with back in my, you know, party days.
Mm-hmm.
But I have my good friend Billy Austin.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's like the kid I grew up with. We were in, you know, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth grade together. Mm-hmm. We went and visited him last year. Just a great guy. And it's funny when you go and hang out with my friend Billy like that, because Billy's like, I got a car you can use. It's a piece of shit, but it runs. I'm like, mm-hmm. Oh, right. That's why we need cars, right? We don't really care what they look. They don't care about the looks of the car. They just use the car. We're out here. I'm like, are the windows tinted?
Wasn't
it, what color is it?
Wasn't Napoleon Dynamite filmed in New Mexico too? I feel like
it may have been.
Yeah, like I feel like all those types of movies were all.
But you know, it's funny because we were there, and Albuquerque is a huge movie production place.
Right.
Now. There's a huge area that's all the movie studios.
Blade, you know all those high probably the new Star Wars movie coming out.
Well, I tell you, we own New Mexico Social. We could go to New Mexico and start a podcast.
There you go. Wow.
That'd be fun.
Yeah, you are. Man, you are Mr. URL owner, real estate owner. What are all the URLs you own? Speak them.
I can't even.
100 of them?
Well, you know, I'll tell you a funny one. I had this idea. You remember the Pumpkin Chunkin'?
Yeah, of course.
So I own www.pumpkintracker.com because I was going to make an app.
Nerd alert.
I was going to make an app. You know, what's the worst part? Did you ever go to Pumpkin Chunkin'?
I've never been. I've had friends who go.
So the worst part for me...
It's banned now, isn't it?
It's over. They don't even have it. Yeah. So that was a stupid purchase. Right. But, you know, you'd be like, hey, what's up? And there it goes. You're like, what happened? Right. Like, you'd missed the pumpkin. You didn't know. And I'm like, if we could build an app that said, okay, pumpkin being shot in 10, 9, 8, you know, get ready, everybody, and then track it, and then show you where it's at, you know, you could follow
it. Like a golf ball.
Because, I used to go to when I first, back in 95, we used to do the pumpkin chunking, and it was over here at Hudson Field. But it was a lot smaller. You kind of hang out. It was more of like a local social event. But then at some point it became so big that there was the pumpkin chunking community in the middle of the pumpkin chunking, and then everybody that was visiting. And it almost like all they cared about was really the pumpkin chunkers knew what was going on, but it was hard as a spectator to understand. You know, you'd hear the air horn, and they would shoot the pumpkin, but it wasn't very interactive. And I thought it'd be cool if we built an app where you could track the pumpkin and see who was in the lead, and you had all this information.
That's pretty cool. Actually, you can do that. There's a company my friend is actually the senior vice president of, and it's a big one, Tile.
Okay.
And you put the chip in the pumpkin.
Yeah.
And the Tile app will track all that for you, where it's located on the field.
See, that would have been cool. We would have been.
And you can put that little thing in wallets and anything. Actually, I have something like it on my keys when I lose my keys in the house.
I need to put that on Tommy the cat.
Yeah.
Because he was gone for 4 days. I was like, oh, no.
Yeah, yeah. You put that on his collar. And
problem
you know
is, I didn't want to find his dead body.
See the gizzards eating it. When yeah, you get there, I found him.
You run up and the tracker flies over as the buzzer goes by. You're like, uh-oh, that's not good.
Oh, my gosh.
I have a few of those. In fact, I used to have one on my drone.
Yeah, so you can duct tape it to a pumpkin, you know, and just let it roll. The only difference is, I think, you know, I think it explodes on the ground. It probably takes off.
Oh, that's true.
You know?
But, you know, you could also just, you know, post a stick and then say, you know.
Oh, yeah. You said it. Put it on a drone. It's a great idea.
You would have to have, like, a team of people that, or a couple people there going, okay, how was that far? How far was I on 1700? And then post it live.
Right, exactly.
It was a very barbaric version of it. But I try to think ahead.
Yeah, I think it's cool. You have a lot of good ideas that have been already invented.
No, there wasn't one. It hasn't been invented. This guy is going to be broke before he realizes that nobody gives a fuck about these tracking things. See, the difference between me and this guy, he probably fucking put a lot of money into it. I didn't pay for shit.
It's all up here.
That's right. It's like a vault.
It is, man.
It's like Raiders of the Lost Ark, you know? They're digging in the wrong spot. Stick was too long.
Dude, great movie. Are you a movie buff at all?
Sure.
Yeah.
I like those movies. Yeah. Sam and I just watched that. Raiders of the Lost Ark, first one.
Yeah, great movie. Great movie, man.
Spielberg was amazing.
Yeah. And Harrison Ford, I think that was like classic Harrison Ford. I love how he did that character.
Well, and there was such, you know, I probably saw that movie 32 times. No, in the theater, because when we used to go, you know, this was back in, you know, the heyday. So my parents would drop us off at the movie.
Right.
My buddy, my either Billy or my buddy John, we would go into the movie, watch the movie, and then we would stay and watch it again.
Right.
And we would watch it all day if they'd let us.
Right.
And then we'd go to the mall.
Right.
We'd go to hit up Chick-fil-A.
Right. Hit the arcade.
Get our samples. Right. Hit the arcade, play a little Asteroids, a little Tempest. My parents would pick us up at like 5 or 6.
Asteroid Tempest. All the millennials just stop on their podcast.
Bastards. I love freaking Tempest. Remember when I used to spin around?
Going into movies, just like you said about music, it was such an experience.
Absolutely.
Now it's like...
When you said arcade, and you just at that second flashback to hanging out at the arcade, didn't it bring like this amazing feeling? That was such a big freaking
deal.
Good time.
No, but all that was a big deal to me, back or to both of us, getting dropped off for the movies, going to the mall, hanging out. It doesn't exist anymore.
I used to go with $5, and I remember the guy up in the booth.
And it would last you hours.
He gave me $5 worth of quarters, and I'd fill them up, and we'd sit there and just hours. Play video games. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, totally. Galaga. There was one. And roller skating. We used to love the roller skating.
Of course.
Right? Now they only. Shoot people.
I know.
What's going on with that?
Oh, my God.
Why are you shooting people at the roller rink?
Yeah, has gun violence always been around?
No, not really.
So here's the question, right? Has it always been there? Have been people getting shot up in the 80s and the 70s? And we never heard of it? Or is it the same amount? We're just hearing of it more because of technology?
Yes, that's the problem. And I was just talking about this with somebody else, and I go, CNN, when CNN became 24-hour news is when it really started, when that girl fell in the well. And I may have even said that to you before. When MTV, MTV was the first kind of channel that played 24 hours. Remember, they were on 24 hours, 24-hour music news, and on 24-hour music. Then CNN kind of followed. And then all of a sudden, the United States is not a community. It's a country. But what CNN does and what these things do is they put community thoughts in a country. So like a shooting in Seattle and we hear the news, it makes us feel like our community, it gives us those feelings.
It's a fantastic point.
But that's not our community. Our community is Rehoboth. Like if a girl gets hit by a bus like the other day or by, a car or where there's that accident or when the little kids died in that fire, the community gets together and we take care of community. But what's happening is this stuff that's going on all over, that's feeding us, it's making us
fearful.
And it's spending our time in this reactionary thinking place where we're always like, now we can't let our kids out because somebody got hijacked in Texas.
Yeah, you can't go to the movies because, people getting shot up in movie theaters.
Yeah, so, in Colorado.
Right.
Not here.
What do they say in, what's the golden rule in media? Fear sells. So fear sells, and that sells advertising, and advertising equals money, and it all trickles up to the almighty dollar.
I turned the news. I may have mentioned, on my DVR, I'd set to watch ABC News with David Muir. I like David Muir. It's pretty vanilla. It's pretty simple. I just, a little dose of news so I know what's going on. Not so vanilla. And they, especially like with Trump, and I'm, I'm not freaking out about anything, honestly, with that guy. But if I watch the news, I notice how they do these sound bites that kind of push the point.
Sure.
Like everybody hates Trump, right. It's just, whatever. Right. But they started, and the news will sit there and tell us, Facebook or the Russians, they're making us think a certain way. No, right. ABC News is making me Correct. Think a certain way.
Right.
It's bullshit. I deleted it from my DVR. So right. We will no longer be having any news.
Right.
And I feel like writing a little note to David Muir.
Oh, you should.
I should. Because no, you should. When are we going to say enough?
Right. Well, it will happen when more people start shutting it off. But it's also, we're victims. And, the society and the culture here it's fear-driven. And, our Constitution in a lot of ways was written based on fear, right? Defending ourselves and, and it just... I don't know. I don't want to go down that rabbit hole, but you're right. I mean, news will tell you what they want you to hear, which will then shape your perspective. And you're absolutely right. The United States is not a community; it's a country. And but then it creates this blanket statements, that people live in. But it's a shame. That's why I don't even watch the news. 9/11 was the dawn of the 24-hour news ban at the bottom. That's when that started, 9/11. So when 9/11 hit, all of a sudden you see with constant updates, 2,000 bodies found now, and 2001, 3,500, it was that that was the founding part of or the media of that news band at the bottom. Is that when that started? To your point about MTV and mm-hmm. CNN, 24-hour news, mm-hmm. that bottom news band started.
Well, CNN started when the little girl fell in the well in Texas.
Right, right.
We all gathered around her TV and
waited. And now she's coming out of the well and into your TV. I mean, the ring.
And we all felt like it was in our community. I remember that's looking wrong. Out back sorry. For a well. I'm like, do we have a well in our backyard?
That's crazy. And there's a lot of accidents in wells. You know,
that's, I mean, that was crazy.
Oh, man.
Well, and I honestly, you know, I don't want to get rid of guns.
I don't want to go down that rabbit hole either. I'm with you on that.
I mean, it's, you know. Well, and there was a guy.
I don't know if they should be sold at Walmart.
What's that guy, Tyson? Tyson?
Mike Tyson?
No, not Mike Tyson. the astronomer. He does that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, whatever his name is, but he posted a tweet, and he's like, you know, it's horrific that these 35 people died.
Neil deGrasse Tyson.
It's horrible that all these people died, but you know, we lose this many people in car accidents, this many people in smoking, this many people from alcohol, and everybody like attacked him because it was like, you know, not being sensitive to the situation, and he was just stating facts. But the people die all over the place, all the time. It's just that the news makes us, you know, jump on this one.
Air travel is still the safest way to travel.
Right.
Statistically speaking. It's just that when it happens, it's traumatic. It's a big deal. When the plane goes down, it's a big deal.
And then we all think all the planes are going to crash.
That's correct.
I mean, how many planes are in the air right now, you think?
Oh, there's a website where you can see it. It looks like New York City out there.
Believe me, I have this. I go through this whole thinking when I go on a plane. I'm like... Could mine be the one?
Did I pick the winning lottery ticket?
You know what's funny is, or not funny, or crazy is, I read an article this morning that Dale Earnhardt Jr.'s plane crashed.
What?
His plane crashed. Well, they're okay, but his holy plane crashed crap. With him, his wife, and his child, and two pilots.
It was a private plane?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Crashed yesterday.
Oh jeez.
I'm like, no, not Dale Jr.
I tell you what, if my pilot doesn't have a little white hair around his ears. I'm a little nervous. Well,
they also been catching a lot of pilots drunk.
Of course. Right.
But coming flying from Ireland.
There's that stereotype, though. If you get on board and you see the pilot, he's looking a little young, you're like, oh, God, here we go. But he's got a little gray around his ears. Okay, I'm feeling pretty good about this one. You know, he's got 25,000 hours in the air.
I had a good friend of mine, Danny. He was a Top Gun pilot. Top Gun instructor.
Danger zone.
And he became a pilot for American Airlines. But I can always imagine he's you know, like, hold on, everybody. Maneuvers.
I'm going to hit the brakes and she'll fly right by.
And then I have a good friend, John. He's in Texas and he flies for American. And he says it's boring.
Yeah, I mean, I've got some friends who are commercial pilots and some of them are ex-military. And it's I don't know. It's a union job, dude.
Well, he says, you know, the hardest part of his day is the, you know, flight check. You know, he walks around the plane. He has to check everything. That's the, you know, that's, but once he's in the plane and they take off, he sits there and.
Right. But here's what gets me about those professions, right? Pilots, right? And they refer to passengers as souls. You know, I've got 125 souls and when they report back and stuff. And you think about in the same vein, like the Navy SEALs and the Delta Force. These guys are making 60 to like 150 grand a year.
Yeah.
Look at the responsibility in the situations they put themselves in, and they make less than, say, a district manager of Walmart. You know what I mean? Like, it's crazy.
Is that how much a district manager of Walmart
makes? I'm in context. I'm like they get, you know, the Navy SEALs, from what I understand from my friend who was in the Navy, they just get danger pay or a danger bonus on top of their regular level salary. And they're dropping in the middle of the jungle, rescuing these hostages. I'm like, and these pilots, these commercial airline pilots, you know, why would I be a commercial airline pilot when I can just go ahead and be, you know, a general marketer for some corporation and make more money than you? And you've got 200 souls that you're responsible for. Like, gosh.
Well, I think that when you're a pilot, that's what you do.
Yeah, just wild. I just think the responsibility.
My dad was a pilot, but he never
commercial pilot.
No, he flew C-130s in the Air Force, but
Oh, wow.
He, I think, had started struggling with his vision. So that's why he didn't. Well, and my dad was also career. My dad was, he did 28 years. He retired colonel.
Oh, that's cool.
My buddy John, he did, you know, what he was supposed to do and then went on to be. But John used to, he had some funny stories. He was a test or a trainer, did training and down in southern Texas, like where it's really hot. And he'd get these new guys in the plane. They'd puke in the plane and he's like, great.
But, jeez. Well, they say that and I didn't know this, but I've heard this. I don't know if it's still accurate today, but the Navy pilots, the Top Gun, they're apparently the highest level trained pilots, more than the Air Force, apparently. I didn't know that because of the fact that they got to land on a moving ship.
Mm-hmm.
You know, did you know that?
No, I just didn't agree with you.
Okay. You're like, yeah, well, where have you been?
Well, that makes sense, though.
Right.
You know, that's how the military works. You know, if you're doing something different than the next person, they're going to pay you for it.
Yeah, I that's pretty cool. But you don't hear, you always hear the Air Force when you think of jets and stuff. And, you know, you hear them, I feel like you hear them three times a week here where we live.
Yeah.
You know, it's.
Well, when I grew up in New Mexico, which is kind of an interesting place because I lived in a place called Four Hills, which is basically a neighborhood at the base of four mountains, kind of foothills, not like giant 10,000, maybe 5,000 feet or something. But all along, first of all, there was four barbed wire fences around these mountains. And then all around the base of the mountains are doors and tanks would travel around these. And, you know, you were like wondering what the fuck's going on up in that mountain.
Right.
You know, a lot of nuclear stuff goes on out there. We something you kind of mentioned, you know, between so-and-so and so-and-so, it's just like nothing's going on. You know, we love watching live PD, and on live PD, they show the United States, but it's like a night shot. So it's all the lights.
Right.
And it's all lit up to the Mississippi.
Mm-hmm.
And then everything past the Mississippi is black.
It's a black hole.
Yeah, it's.
That's why you can probably see all the stars in Albuquerque at nighttime.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, it's beautiful in the
evenings. We used to go to this lake called Cochiti Lake, which is just outside of Santa Fe, and we could see the Milky Way.
What?
Yep. Beautiful.
That is cool.
Yeah, it was very
cool. So you weren't just like classic military brat where you're traveling the world with your dad. You were based in New Mexico. And
no, you know, not the weird thing. My brother had a little bit of a learning disability. And if you have a problem, like if you have a child that has a learning disability and you find a great school for them,
try to stay.
They'll let you kind of stay, you know, but when you're, you know, my dad passed up a lot of, you know, if he would have followed the regular regiment of a military guy, he probably could have made general. But he had to, pass on some promotions and moves because he was trying to help, you know, my brother stay in the school. So, you know, he ended up as just a full bird colonel. But if we had moved more, he probably could have been a general.
Where's your brother today?
I'm not talking about my brother.
Okay.
My brother's doing okay.
Oh, okay.
Actually, my brother's up in, he lives up in like in Newark.
He's in Delaware?
Yeah, he does, he drives one of those trucks that, you know, when there's construction that, you know, if you ran into it, it would protect the construction site. It's like a crash truck.
Oh.
He drives one of those.
I never knew there was such a thing. It's a crash truck. So what?
Well, if you ever notice, like when when they do construction on the bridge, there's always like a truck with this crash thing that it actually, it's called the Scorpion, but it actually pops up. But when it lays down, you know, it collapses if a car was to crash into that scene.
So let me get this straight. Your brother drives that truck. So I guess that company considers him dispensable.
They'll fire your ass. They don't care. There's no shame.
Like, put him on the crash truck. We don't need him.
No, my brother's cool.
Yeah.
We were watching. Have you watched that Hot Ones? It's the guy that he's brilliant. And when I watch it, it reminds me of you a little bit because he does a lot of research, you know, he's like, but he, you know, he has a guest and they sit down across from each other and they eat 10 hot wings and each wing is one level hotter.
Oh, okay.
Have you
seen, I'm familiar with him because my son, I think, watches it.
And the guy's great because he's just full of research and he knows, you know, like he had Stone Cold Steve Austin on and the guy goes, after it's all done, he's like, I've never been on a show with a guy that has done so much research. So it reminded me of you, but, It was funny. You got to watch it. You got to watch the one with...
is it a YouTube show or is it a...
It's on YouTube.
Yeah, yeah. I think I've seen it.
You got to watch the one with Gordon Ramsay. I swear, I almost pissed myself. It's so funny.
Wow. I love hot stuff. I love... Was it the ghost... What was it called? The ghost pepper? What was the pepper that makes it... That was on like a couple years ago. That was just to create the chip.
Probably. Oh, yeah. There was one chip.
That you just ate one chip and you were like dying.
Yeah.
You know, you have a gallon of milk next to you and you're just... They showed Shaquille O'Neal doing it. And he's like, I'm okay. Whoa! He starts freaking out. He's trying to be all tough about
it. Well, he's on the hot ones too, yeah, and he's like,
he likes hot too.
I'm not going to show you. I'm not going to show any facial expressions.
Yeah,
he's like, but he's just sweating.
Yeah. Right, right.
But the cool thing on with Stone Cold Steve Austin, he never sweat.
Did he really?
He never sweat. He's like, I've had Shaq, Gordon Ramsay, you know, Snoop Dogg. I've had hundreds of people pouring milk over their head. I've never had one guest that's come on and hasn't sweat.
That's wild.
And Stone Cold, he didn't sweat. He's just...
That's tough.
I like Stone Cold.
That's
he's
tough,
funny.
Man.
He's doing a podcast.
When is he coming in?
We can send him an email.
Rehost Social Podcast.
So how do you think our podcast is going?
This one in particular?
No, in general, our podcasting career.
I think it's fine. I think it's... Well, I think more so that... we're getting some really cool guests who are sharing their stories. And I think that's really cool. So
I think I mentioned just before that I've been texting back and forth with the foodie.
The Rehoboth foodie. Yes. Like, the elusive one.
Yeah. Is he still hiding?
I don't know. Like I've often heard about him. I just never ran into him or, well, you know, doesn't he write in the Cape Gazette every once in a while?
Yeah, no, I mean, I just was texting him. What did he write? He said, he wrote, hi, doing live promo cut-ins until around 9:30-ish. We'll respond then. Thanks.
Nice.
And then he called, and then I sent him a picture of us doing a podcast. I'll call you back. He wrote, oops, I'm here.
And you love talking about food, so it'll be a great one.
Well, I don't love talking about like restaurant food, but I would like to talk about my favorite restaurants in Rehoboth.
Sure, yeah.
Do you have a favorite?
Yeah, I love.
Let's do some research right now. What do you think?
I love
number one restaurant.
Like what, in any category?
Or from just Nassau Bridge to the beach.
Any category. Italian, doesn't matter, just whatever. Desert Island restaurant. What's your desert island restaurant?
What's that mean?
Like you're stuck on a desert island, you want that one.
Stop. We're hoping. We're talking about, I just told you the parameters. From Nassau Bridge to the beach. Now you want to go on a desert island. Nassau Bridge to the beach. And let's say Love Creek. You know, we're not even going to get into, Long Neck.
They're all so good, man. Like, I like them.
First of all, they're not all so good.
Well,
so
I like a lot of good restaurants. I mean.
You want me to go first?
Sure.
My favorite restaurant, my go-to, my money, my consistent restaurant I know will be good every time, Confucius.
Oh, really? In Rehoboth?
Mm. Have you been there?
Yeah, yeah.
Love Confucius.
Yeah. I like
salt
that restaurant.
Salt and pepper shrimp.
I keep forgetting about that place, you know, but I do like that restaurant a lot.
First reason I love it, the food's good. Clearly, that's important. Second reason I love it, it's family owned. Third reason I love their salt and pepper shrimp.
Nice.
It's so good.
Nice.
It's on a bed of...
I like Confucius. I got to hit that place up, you know.
That's where we should go out to dinner. Maybe we'll take our wives out.
Done. Let's do it. Figure out a night.
My wife being like, I don't like
Confucius. Is it Christine? Is it your...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love Confucius. My second favorite restaurant, and this isn't because they're not as good, but Michie's.
Yes. I'm there with you there.
We need to get that guy on here. He's like, he's a badass. He's a badass chef is what he is.
He is awesome.
He is.
That's a really cool place. My wife introduced me to Michie's. Is it Michie's or Michie's? I don't know, but it's really, really,
We've
really
said
good.
It four times.
I like, Michie's. I mean, I don't know if you like pizza, but I love Mr. P's.
Okay, well, that's a different category.
I had asked you what category, and you were like, you know, all over the... Well, I like...
Why do you got to make things so challenging?
You went to Chinese to Michie's. I went to pizza. So
you may be too smart for your own good.
Do you don't like Mr. P's? Eh, no.
Do you want to?
In terms of comfort food,
as far as pizza goes,
well, just like if you're talking, I'm like, for me, like if I think about like go to comfort food, like that's really good. If you talk about like nice atmosphere with good food,
they're not my favorite. I definitely don't want to badmouth them. because that's not what we're about. But it's not. I guess maybe their location. You know, when you live in Rehoboth, you know how it is. When you
right.
Sometimes Lewis can be 1,000 miles away. You know, if
that's
I gotta
how they
go
feel about us,
right? Exactly. Right. So if I gotta come out on the highway and then make that turn and then get stuck back there, then right. I like
the food though.
I don't consider Mr. P's an option usually for me mm-hmm. because it's just. It's 7 miles away, and it's like right. 7 miles of hell. So
Fork and Flask is another favorite one of ours. Naj, right across the street from the Seaside Shopping Center or outlets. You don't like that place?
I like Naj.
Okay, cool.
My problem, my problem with Naj is I can only afford the hamburger. Don't you hate that? Well, you of course know it because you're big time.
But stop it.
A guy like myself, you go to these nice restaurants, and I'm like right away. I'm like, ooh. Ooh, that's expensive.
Mishi's and Confucius.
I'll take the
right,
burger without a bun. Is it cheaper without the bun?
Do you have a 55 and over menu?
Do you have a half burger?
They are pricey, but I don't think Confucius and Mishi's aren't that far off.
No, but so... No, I thought we were talking about Naj.
Yeah, but price-wise. I thought they're all around the same range price-wise.
Well, so when I go to Confucius, it's special. Like, it's anniversary. It's like we're taking my parents out. Mm-hmm. Or it's like, so I've been saving. <They're> prepared.
I'm surprised you like Confucius because he's pretty smart, you know.
He is smart. He's a good guy. Well, when Matt was alive, you know, Matt would go over there and buy... He's right over there on his freaking Vespa with his flip-flops on in February and get like 5 orders of salt and pepper shrimp and eat it all and then wake up with shame and guilt the next day going, I need to get on a diet. I need a trainer. You need to be trained not to go to Confucius, what you need to
I've
train.
Only been there a couple of times, but that's where we'll go. Christine, Amy, and you and I will go there.
They have an amazing General Tso's chicken. They have this like fried rice but with shrimp.
You know,
like
shrimp,
like bubble gum shrimp.
I need the fried rice for shrimp.
I need that bubble gum shrimp on my fried rice, please.
Oh, man.
But it's delicious. So, but now let's talk pizza because right. I think that's different.
Go ahead.
Favorite pizza.
I threw mine out there. I exposed. I was vulnerable. I threw mine out there. Go ahead.
I'm nervous. Well, first, there used to be this place. You know where Staples is? Yeah. How long have you lived here?
Living here since 2007.
I don't even know. There was a pizza place that was just to the right of Staples. I can't remember what it was called, but they're gone. But they, to me, had such an amazing pizza. Actually, someone said they're out in Long Neck now.
Oh.
We might have to take a road trip.
All right.
But that was delicious. So really, for me, it comes down to Louis or Nicola's.
Oh, I like them both. I like Louis and Nicola's.
That's tough, right?
Yeah, yeah. But to me, it's kind of different. You know, I think of Louis as a traditional, like, kind of New York-style pizza. Nicola's, is, to me, is like a Rehoboth staple.
So I will tell you that I've lived here for 24 years, and for 23 years of that, I only ate the Nicoboli's.
Mm-hmm.
Can you eat a Nicoboli or what?
Oh, my gosh.
That's danger, right?
If you just want to just gorge and indulge... Holy crap, man.
Do you ever start off going, I'm just going to eat half?
It's probably 3,000 calories by itself.
You ever
man.
Say that? I'm just going to eat half?
Right, right, of course.
And then you just fist the other half. But a couple years ago, we went to the Polar Bear Plunge, and we went to Louis, and they were closed.
Mm-hmm.
And I've talked to Tim about this.
tilted your head like, well.
So we went to Nicola's, and we had pizza. Nicola's was open, Louis wasn't. Mm-hmm. And we had pizza, and it was phenomenal. Mm-hmm. Her pizza was awesome. Mm-hmm. So, two kinds of pizza, good point.
Have you tried Semra's down at the boardwalk, the Mediterranean restaurant?
No.
You should try that. You like Mediterranean food?
What's that? Is that coconut and stuff?
That's island food, man.
Hey, coconut.
Coconut and stuff?
Is that like coconut? Coconut milk? No. Something like that.
We climbing palm trees in the Mediterranean.
That's freaking racist, bro.
No, they're owned by and we're going to have them on the podcast. They're owned by John and Semra, and they're really, really a nice family.
Who are they? John and who?
John and Semra. I can't remember. Tekman. The okay. Tekmans. John and Semra Tekman. They're from Turkey.
Oh, cool.
A nice family that live across the street from me. They've owned Semras probably for 5, 6, 7 years
you
now.
You asked them to come on the podcast?
I can. They're nice. They're. I mean, I'll
get. You said they're coming on.
No, I'll totally get them on. They'll okay. totally. They'll come on. I'm all sure. Right. That's an authentic Mediterranean restaurant. You know. You know, the, what do you call it? The gyros,
you know,
euros. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Teacher.
Student failure. Student failure. Well, that's a funny, that's a whole podcast, right?
Yeah.
Gyros.
Gyros. So like they're really good for those.
I
love
think
their
Reader's
food.
Digest.
Very fresh, vegan friendly, vegetarian friendly. You know, they have the carved meat on the, I don't even know on the
spigot.
Roll on the no, but it's like that roll of meat, and they carve it right off of it, and
lamb.
Yeah, nailed it. So great.
I can
desserts.
Tell you, I've never had a gyro.
It's good. You should check it out. We should
I
go
would.
There too, man. That's a really nice place. It's healthy, healthier. Yeah, nice family too. So that yeah, there's a lot of good restaurants around
there's
here,
a lot
dude.
Of good
man,
restaurants.
There's a lot of. I mean, I like Sodell stuff too. I like Scott stuff.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, they turned around. We were just at Crust and Craft, so they Sodell bought Crust and Craft and just totally upgraded the interior. It looks so nice.
So do you think the guy just wanted out?
That's a good question. I don't know how these hostile acquisitions go.
It wasn't a hostile. I think he's like, hey, Scott, can you buy my restaurant?
Right. You know, Matt's Fish Camp is really cool, and I like Blue Coast.
It was funny. When Scott was on, his podcast, I think his podcast posts Monday. But when he was on, and I wanted to ask him about it, and I got to ask him about Papa Grande's. You know, Papa Grande's closed down, and... You know, how come? Why? You know, and he talked about it on the podcast, but do you remember Betty's?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Matt was like, I'm opening a new restaurant. I was like, cool,
That was theirs?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. That was, so that restaurant has been so many things. I think
right.
it was.
That's a tough location, man.
But that restaurant was so, I think it was Pete Townsend who opened that initially, the Pasta Bowl. And that had such amazing.
They had good burgers there.
No, but the wood yeah. and the how they built the place, the bar was freaking phenomenal.
Right.
And they painted it all white. Whatever. But so Matt opened Betty's based on Betty Crocker, you know, that comfort food.
Comfort food.
And the problem is that all only people that went there were like Betty Crocker people, like right. 70, 80 right. year old Betty right. Crocker right. people. But that
the Cracker Barrel people.
Yeah, exactly. I remember when we went there the first time and Matt used to give out pretzel rolls.
Uh-huh.
Like, you know, when you sit uh-huh. down, you get a free basket
yeah.
of pretzel rolls.
Yeah.
It'd be eating up so freaking quick
yeah,
that he had
full.
To start charging.
Right.
Yeah.
Can I get another basket over here, please?
No more free pretzel rolls for you.
I like that place. We would go there sometimes before the movies, you know.
Yeah, so, it was good.
Yeah.
He used to have this stacked parm.
Yeah, I remember that
stacked
too.
Stacked eggplant parm.
Yeah.
And it was, oh my God. Yeah, so we do have a lot of great restaurants and a lot have come and a lot have gone.
What's your opinion on the larger restaurant groups around here? There's La Vida, you know, with the Beach Club and Crooked Hammock, and there's obviously Sodell. What's the other couple of different restaurant groups around here?
You know, honestly, I'm not a great person to ask that because I don't...
You cook.
I cook.
You're a cooker.
I'm a cooker, and I'm providing... I have 3 kids
yeah.
and a wife.
Right.
And... I like eating out, but honestly, for what money I have, anytime I spend like $100 at a restaurant, I'm thinking how much that would have been like lunch meat, loaf of bread. You know, that's how I think. You
no,
know?
I get that, and I respect that totally. I just think because of where we live, it's such a big industry down here.
It is a big industry, you know? And I think they all do a great job. I mean, Big mm-hmm. Fish. I mean,
right?
They're
big
all
fish
they're all amazing.
One.
You know, 20 years ago when Big Fish, however many years ago it opened, I remember going there. Because when they first opened, we used to go and get that, you know, the chicken with that giant pile of mashed potatoes.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it was just phenomenal. Mm-hmm. It was a treat.
Mm-hmm.
And I always used to love because they'd write their name upside down
right.
on the paper. I was like, that's so freaking cool that you can do that.
Have you taken Christine to Oyster House or the one next door to that?
No.
Across the street from Confucius?
Across the street? Oh, Saltaire?
Saltaire and Oyster House?
No, I haven't.
You should try those places. They're really, really good.
Well, we should. I think we'll go to Confucius with you. Our, see, like, you know, we met, my wife loves steak. So I buy these amazing steaks from Fresh Market.
Right.
We get these golden Yukon potatoes.
Yeah. Fresh Market's good. That's bro. They should make their own restaurant, man.
Organic broccoli. I steam it.
You do the meal deal there? Have you heard it?
Yeah, no, I don't do the meal deal. I know what you're talking about, where they have... Yeah, and that's
for $20 feeds family of four.
That's
not
nice.
A bad deal.
Not a bad deal. But we make, you know, I like to cook.
That's great, man. And that's why you're healthy. You know, you exercise, you don't eat all day, and then you eat a nice healthy meal in the evening.
Well, unfortunately, I do miss some of that, though.
I would imagine. So you don't have a cheat day? You don't just like, hey, we're going to go out for breakfast today. We're going to go to Crystal. Another great restaurant for me. I like Crystal Restaurant.
Listen, I had a cheat night last night. I had some Pop-Tarts. That was my cheat.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, gosh.
Put them in the microwave? What'd you do? Put them in the toaster?
Shame on you, microwave.
I don't know.
Slap that Pop-Tart. Get that Pop-Tart out of my face. No, I put it in the toaster oven.
Did you?
No, that's actually... We're
frosting?
Gonna go.
No frosting? What'd you do?
Brown sugar with frosting.
Ooh.
It's damaged. In a toaster. She's like, I'm letting them cool. I'm like, fuck it. Give it to me. I like them hot. I like them.
Burn the tongue hot.
Yeah, that frosting's like liquefied lava. It's like, oh, it's stuck to my lip. It's amazing.
God. There are some serious devil treats out there, man.
Devil.
You know, Pop-Tarts, Rice Krispie treats.
Well, yeah. I struggle with a few things. And but restaurants, and there's a lot of good ones, and our thing, if we're going to go out, usually what we will go out is for a burger.
Yeah.
Do you have a place that you like getting burgers at?
Good question.
Pickle Pig is a pretty amazing burger.
Yeah. I don't know. I haven't been to Dogfish in a while. I used to like their burgers there, Dogfish Head in town. Yeah, but I feel like they're not that, you gotta be a dumbass to fuck up a burger.
Yeah. No, you don't. Well, I won't mention the name, but I went and had a barbecue sandwich, and they thought it would be a great idea to put broccoli rabe on it. That's dumb. That was freaking terrible. But I won't say the name because I might want them on the podcast.
I mean, what's your favorite place for a burger?
Probably Pickle Pig.
Yeah, I like their.
What I love about Pickle Pig is they're always, you know, they're always like you go every day. There's kind of like this little hamburger menu they make. They do like a peanut butter and jelly
burger day, don't they? Like a burger menu.
Yeah,
yeah.
And they, you know, I like to see a little creativity. They have great fries. I like good fries. They have good burgers. I mean, the funny thing is, you know how I order my hamburger? Swiss cheese, plain ketchup only.
Really?
That's it.
That's how you like your burger.
Yeah, and I actually got that from my wife because she likes Swiss cheese. My wife's a pain in the ass when it comes to freaking eating. And she,
why?
Because she likes, when she orders a burger, Swiss cheese and ketchup only. That's it.
But why do you like it that way?
It tastes good.
Then you just said she's a pain in the ass.
Well, because actually, I order it that way because she usually orders it for me. She takes care of me. Both of them like that, please. I go, yes, ma'am.
She orders for you.
You know lettuce gives you indigestion.
So you're not the kind of guy that puts like the big onion ring in the burger, you know?
And no. I'm not. And actually,
the indulgence burger from Dogfish.
I usually only eat half of a burger.
Right. You bring the other half home. I got lunch.
Yeah. Well, I don't eat lunch anymore. That's
right,
the other thing.
Man. Wow. I keep forgetting, man. You're like, you're eating like a caveman now.
It's stupid. Yeah, I know. I'm just saying. Say it out loud. Say it.
No. Not going to say it, two brain cells. Not going to say it. Come on now.
Loser. Go ahead.
No, that's fascinating, man.
Hopefully we can get the foodie on and we can go through some of this stuff.
That would be fun, man. That would be fun.
It's got to be a tough job to be, you know, critical on like local business.
Right. Mexican. Go. Tough one.
Alzateca.
El Dorado, no longer in business, but I loved Achilles Restaurant.
First of all, that wasn't Mexican food. That was Baja food.
El Dorado?
Yeah, it's based on Baja Mexico food. There's difference. You know, fresh off the ocean, steamed shrimp.
Okay. I should have categorized fish tacos then.
Well, and when you say Mexican food, so right away I would say La Tolteca. I mean, La Tolteca, Azoteca, they all do a decent job. Right. I call it long arm food. They long arm carries all those plates.
Right.
You know? I know every time I leave there, I feel terrible because I eat way too many chips.
Chips. Right.
So
crunch, crunch, crunch.
But I do like Azoteca.
Mm-hmm.
I love, when I, you know, it's funny. When I was out in San Diego, we used to get roll tacos. And we go to like Alfonso's, Juanita's, Alberto's, all these, you know, everything west of the Mississippi is like taco shops.
Right.
And I love that kind of stuff. And we used to get these rolled tacos, and it would be like five rolled tacos with this giant blob of sour cream, a giant blob of guacamole with salsa fresca thrown on top, wrapped up in paper. And you get these little cups of salsa, little dipping things. That was so good. And the hot carrots. You know, I did love, when Achilles was on the podcast, he used to have onions and hot carrots in his little middle thing. And I'd pick out all the hot carrots. Onions for you.
I would think, though, Achilles didn't live in Baja. He was around the Puerto Vallarta area. Like, you know, so I don't know if he would agree with you on the Baja food thing. Because I think he gets a lot of his recipes from mainland Mexico. So, but anyway,
what Mexican dish did he have?
Well, I get it.
He had fish tacos. Yeah. I mean, it was mahi.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, they ain't selling mahi down in Mexico.
What about...
that's for the beach people.
Yeah, yeah. What about agave? No?
Never been.
What? No.
I don't drink.
Well, they serve food there. It's like you think of agave, you think of their margaritas.
Well, you know what? Yeah. I mean, if you want my opinion, I don't like a restaurant that makes you wait an hour.
How about 4 hours?
Fucking arrogant to me. Yeah, if you can take that. And
how is that their fault, dude? How is that their fault? People go there. They don't have enough seating. Is that their fault? Yeah. I don't like a restaurant that makes you wait.
Well, there's nothing I'm waiting for an hour for. Especially food.
Oh, my gosh.
So, you know, honestly, it's to me.
So,
it's,
okay, what you're saying is
Tijuana taxi kind of thing. You remember the Tijuana taxi?
Here?
No, it was in Rehoboth.
Yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, the Tijuana taxi was huge, biggest restaurant in town.
Right.
Because they sold frozen golden margaritas. And you go over there and you get your fucking drink on. And then, but you could leave there and walk, you didn't have to get in a car. So I think that's why they were so successful. When Derrickson threw them out onto the highway, you couldn't drink. You couldn't go over there and indulge in giant golden margaritas because then you would have to drive.
Right.
And I think when that happened, that was the kiss of death for them. Mm. I mean, if you go, you ask Bindo Agave, oh, they got great margaritas.
Well, I like their food too. I mean, it's a bit fried.
Have you had their margaritas?
Oh yeah, of course.
Thank you.
Yeah. So, well, so hey, what do you mean, Mr. Judgy Judge over there? Mr. Judgy Judge?
I'm judging.
What you're saying, what I hear you saying, is why aren't they taking reservations?
That's right.
That's exactly what you're saying. And I agree with you on that. I think they cater to the local community there. You know, and you can get in there early and get a table pretty quickly if they right when they open. Mm-hmm. But if you get into that 6 o'clock time frame, 5 o'clock, they open like 3. You can get, and it becomes like...
Really? You know, going for at 3?
I'm just saying.
Arrogant.
4... You think they're like, you know what, 4 hour wait?
Like, well, do you think that? So you're from the business world. Do you think as a restaurant, you should try to have people wait so maybe they'll wait in the bar, buy some drinks? You know, I think there's a formula, right?
Well, I think that's part of their allure. Hang out at the bar. They have an upstairs bar now. It's pretty cool.
I mean, and listen, I have eaten there, and their food's good. Okay. I'm not hating. Man,
you got Mr. Judgy Judge in the beginning of that conversation.
Well, I don't like to wait. I don't mind waiting 15, 20 minutes, but an hour, 2 hours? Please.
Yeah.
How long have you waited?
Well, typically they'll text you, so we'll go walk around town.
See,
about 45 minutes.
I think there's a meeting that took place with the town and Agave, and they said, listen, let's let them walk the town for 4 hours.
Local business.
Yeah. And then we'll track them, and we'll see where they stop. And once they've hit 3 retail spots, we'll buzz them.
We don't wait there. If it's more than 45 minutes, we don't go eat there. Yeah. You know, but we time it. Like, we'll eat there a little early.
Yeah. So, you know, all joking aside, it's a good restaurant. I just haven't... it's kind of like Mr. P's. When you're in Rehoboth, you just aren't going into Lewis.
Oh, you want to hear a funny story
about
Lewis
that? Is in trouble.
Oh.
That's right. I said it.
Spill it.
There's no parking.
Right. Right. That's always been
a problem. They screwed up.
Yeah, that's been a problem.
It's been, listen, I used to go to Lewis all the time. It has really become an issue. You can't even find a place to park.
Dude, it was in the front page of the paper. There's like the record-breaking accidents in Route 1 and the parking situation. What did we talk? We talked about this offline. The development of this territory and the lack of infrastructure, you know? So, I mean,
I bet if you tried to build infrastructure in Lewis, they wouldn't let you. They'd have to have a town meeting. You know, the historical society would have to come and get involved. You don't want to break up these historical streets. I mean, how do you make even a street like that? How can you make a King's Highway or even Savannah Road wider?
That's why the businesses on Route 1 are starting to thrive. Route 1 used to be a dead zone for the summer. Now they're thriving because you can park.
Well, Scott, it was funny. It was interesting having Scott on because, and I've, you know, Matt used to say this, but he's like, you know, when you want to open a business or a restaurant, there's a list, a checkbox list of things. And, you know, when we were talking about Papa Grani's, he's like, Papa Grani's, it had about, you know, 17 of the 50 things checked. But, you know, when we moved out on the highway, that had about 45 of 50 things checked off in the boxes. So you're exactly right. And I think Rehoboth is going to start to struggle. I mean, the rent.
Oh, they already are. They already are. I mean, there's some really good restaurants that closed, I think, because of that problem. The rent's too high, and there's more and more people are seeing the options out on Route 1. When Iron Hill opened up, and, you know, that whole corridor, and now with all of Sodell's restaurants, people are jumping in their car because they don't want to wait more than an hour for their dinner. So there is a correlation here, I think, that's happening. It's just, it's part of the development of our community, too. But,
well, I think that the shirt, not this shirt. You like that. I have that shirt with all the cassettes on it.
I love that shirt.
Last Christmas, there was a guy that had this little shop down in Rehoboth, and my wife and I, it was a Sunday, and I said, it was Christmas, so we had some money to spend. And I said, let's spend it locally. Let's just walk around. And I said, the first person that says hi to us when we walk in, we're going to buy something.
Oh.
Four stores later.
You mean the employee behind the desk?
That's right.
Okay.
So four stores later, we walk in this little clothing store. The guy's like, hey, man, good morning. How's it going? I was like,
I'll take
like
this
guy. Yeah, I bought shirts. He's closed now.
He closed down. I'll take that guitar pick. Thank you.
But he mentioned it. He said to me that the rent was like $5,000 a month.
Yeah. No, downtown Rehoboth, forget about it. I don't know how. What gets me about that?
I bet you looked at. Did you look down there for rental space?
Sort of. And what's interesting, have you seen the new Rise Up restaurant down in Rehoboth? That's a really good restaurant, or kind of coffee shop slash restaurant. Mm-hmm. The former 7-Eleven?
Yep.
They've got parking.
Really? Not really.
But it moves.
It's aggravating parking is what that is.
Well, it is and it isn't. But the fact is they're thriving and they're crushing it. And their lines are out the door. And they're moving people in and out. Funny story, or kind of ironic, when Amy and I, before Urban
Float, talk about that offline.
Before Urban Float, I looked at that spot exactly because there's 7-Eleven was for sale, right? And I was actually talking to a franchise called Rockin' Joe, similar to Rise Up, similar concept, food, gourmet coffee, and it was a music themed Starbucks, basically.
Nice.
And we were just struggling with it because I just don't know much about the food service industry. And the CEO of our Rockin' Joe, which they have around the country, vacations in Rehoboth, he took me and Amy out to breakfast at Egg, right? And he came out. He said, oh, come out. We were close to signing. We were really like, Amy and I were like, this is the one we're going to do. And he was super nice. And he talked about the recipes where they get their breads and the gourmet. He came up with a bunch of like bottles and cups for us and loaded us up with stuff we took to our car. And we didn't do it, right? But I saw a Rise Up and I was like, wow, look, look, babe, there's lines going out the door. That could have been our spot. But, you know, Scott's right. You know, it's got to check off all the boxes. But I think they're good because they're parking. They got access, not just walking traffic, but they're getting people who are coming in from out of town or farther away.
Well, we'll see how their winter goes. I mean, I asked, the guy was going to come on the podcast, and he got busy. So
They're crushed over there.
Well, maybe we can get him on in the fall.
Yeah, we will.
Or in the winter.
No, we will. And that guy, I think he owns like 19 of them around the East Coast.
Does he?
Yeah, they're all over the place. There's a lot of them, man.
Why don't we create a business and make it a franchise?
Yeah, it's called Rehoboth Social.
Well, I mean, or something. I mean, what do you got to do? I mean, just have an idea. How's that work?
Look how you simplify everything. Well, I'll make my own Facebook. I'll be my own Joe Rogan.
Listen, it's only followers. I mean, the difference between, it's just, that's the only difference.
You and I talk about there's the start and there's the end. There's 1,000 steps in between to get to that.
It's Joe nuances. Rogan. Yeah. Nuances. I mean, Facebook is just a social site with nuances. It's just a question. What's on your mind? And a ton of nuances. That's all Facebook is.
No, man. You know how it started? It was a college social network. You saw the movie, I guess, right?
I know how it started. But dude, if you started Facebook and you had no friends and you had no nothing, it would be a line that says what's on your mind. That's it.
You have to have friends.
Well, I mean, you know, what makes Facebook? Your friends. I mean, what's the point of putting things on there for people to see it? Uh-huh. If you had nothing on there. I mean, look, and then the nuances, you know, and I'm not bad-mouthing Facebook. They're great. I love Facebook, but...
Yeah, you do like Facebook.
I love Facebook.
A big part of what you do for this podcast, so...
Well, and you know, and you laugh at my app, but I loaded a bunch of
podcasts. I like your app, man. I put
a bunch of podcasts on there, so if you people want to follow, I always say, people say, where can I find your podcast? I say, oh, Spotify and iTunes, and I forget. We have a social app. We have the... Rob a social podcast app.
So yeah, it's on Google Play and iTunes, right? Yeah. The App Store. Yeah, it's free. I think it's free, right?
It's actually a great, you know, that app was built for people to share their experience in Rehoboth to the next person coming down. I get Facebook, but, you know, what? Put local into social. You know, why do we have to promote the whole world? Why can't we just promote a town or a beach or something like that?
Right.
That's how that kind of got off.
That's cool. Is it time for some advertising?
Yeah, are you reading something, dog?
Let's see here.
Go, Rita.
Am I reading it? Okay, I am reading it.
You are reading it.
Okay. Come on, it's comical hour. Let's have you read it.
We had that moment. Hey! We just had that meeting.
Let me see here.
Today?
Yeah, I'm sorry, loading.
Ticking away.
Get the Wi-Fi password. Let's see here.
I was watching a podcast last night, and I realized that...
Watching podcasts.
Okay, I was watching Joe Rogan's podcast. You've made that clear. But, you know, it's funny that, you know, sometimes I don't always enjoy it.
Of course.
You know?
Yeah. I don't like every podcast.
What, Chewbacca podcast? Oh, was a little weak
this year. Here we go. Here we go.
A little weak this year.
Here we go.
A little weak.
Yeah, I say one thing all of a sudden. All I listen to.
Who watches this? Who listens to the Star Wars podcast?
Nah, so, man, I like them all, man. I got to tell you. You only pull my list of podcasts, homeboy?
No.
Hey, get ready to be blown away. Get ready to be blown away. Look, here we go.
Listen, I already have a great thought. I already think great of you. Don't deplenish that.
So check this out. The Ben Shapiro Show. Energy is Love, Float Tank Solutions, Game of Thrones, The Herd, Colin Cowherd, Joe Rogan Experience, Monday Morning Podcast, Rehoboth Social Podcast, Right After the Thrones, Ribbon Report, Single...
At least we made the top 10.
It's alphabetical order. No. Single Video Theory,
The next Pearl podcast Jam. Is going to be called A Podcast.
Yeah, Will Cain. So,
Triple A Podcast.
I listen to them all, man. Come on now.
Do you listen to them to be educated or entertained?
Both. I mean, I love information. I'm addicted to, right now my thing is just learning right now, learning about things. But I love to laugh, as you know, so I'll listen to Bill Burr and Joe Rogan here and there. And I love sports. I like to stay up on my sports news too.
Yeah.
My advertising spot document is not loading.
Did you see the football game last night?
Mm-mm.
The Raiders against, the Cardinals.
How'd it go? I don't like watching preseason, man. It's like, oh God.
Yeah, but so there's a lot, you know, so it's interesting. So the Cardinals picked up the number one draft pick.
Right.
What's his name?
I don't even know.
Wilson something. But anyway, you know, he's the number one draft pick.
Right.
And I've been watching this Hard Knocks and been learning a little bit about some of these, you know, behind the scenes of the Raiders.
Right.
So I'm kind of interested. And I turned it off, and it was 26-0 Raiders. This guy, this quarterback, you know, he didn't do anything.
I mean, like, after the first, I think the first series, they take all the starters out.
No, they kept this guy in, the quarterback.
God. Oh, he's not starting, though.
Yeah. Oh, wait, I don't know if he started.
Not the rooks. Nah.
No, can you Google, what's the guy's name, the quarterback for the, he's going to be the starter.
Okay.
He was from Oklahoma, I think. Or was he from Mississippi? I don't know. Oklahoma, one of them.
Was it an entertaining game? Kyler Murray?
Kyler Murray.
Yeah.
He's going to be the starter.
Yeah. They do some. Yeah. When you're a top draft pick, I guess you.
But he really didn't do much yesterday. And like I said,
preseason is not a gauge of the season at all.
It's not a gauge of the season, but it's a gauge of players.
A little bit.
A little. Most of these guys, you know.
They're still in the middle of training camp.
You know, Baker Mayfield, he played one series. They pulled him.
Of course.
This guy was in up until the half.
Right.
You know, they're trying to figure out what they got.
I get that.
And I'm interested in that. You know, I
get that.
What I was kind of saying is I kind of was thinking like you are thinking now. You know, it's preseason. What do I give a shit for? But actually, mm-hmm. there's a lot of these guys are trying to get a job. And if they can't get a job with this team, because most of these guys won't even make the top, what is it, 52 they keep?
52.
They won't even, most of these guys won't even get kept. So they're also looking to try to get picked up by another team. You know, like the guy that runs it 12 yards or 10 yards into the end zone and tries to run it back. That's not, he didn't take a knee. He's trying to get a job.
I think, my personal opinion, which is kind of, which I think was a lot of sports radio will talk about, is they should cut preseason in half and add two games to the schedule. There you go. Done. Mic drop. NFL is a huge corporation.
So what, you would care two more times? Is that what you're saying?
Well, NFL, there's nothing more in the major four sports that weighs more in value and results and meaningful than a single NFL game. That can determine so much. Adding two more games to the schedule, or at least reducing the preseason, because you're risking all these injuries to these highly paid people, athletes who, gosh.
But one of the things about Hard Knocks that's interesting is, and you hear Gruden talk about it, he's like, you know, when back in the day, we would practice with pads in the morning. We would practice two times a day with pads. Now we can't.
Right.
We can't practice with pads.
We practice with pads.
You know, so it's like, you know, the union and the players, mm-hmm. and, you know, just because people are getting hurt, they're not mm-hmm. pushing them as hard. And so it's the game's changing. The
whole, right.
Behind the scenes, in front of the scenes, everything's changing. Mm-hmm. I like about preseason is I just like to see these guys trying to get a job, you know.
Yeah, that's true.
Hungry, you know. Once you're on the roster,
right?
You know, it is what it is. You got to try to make it through the whole season. But these guys are like, you know, this is my opportunity.
It's like the Firefly of football.
That's right.
You know, it's the bands you never hear of. You know, and you're trying them out, see if they get popular. All right, time for some advertising.
Go for it.
Hey.
Hey,
you heard of Urban Float?
I have.
Well, if you like to relax and disconnect, then you should check out Urban Float in Rehoboth Beach, Delaware, located next to Rosenfeld's Jewish Deli in the New Ocean Atlantic Shopping Center on Route 1 North.
A shtickle.
Guests of Urban Float get to relax and float in their own flotation pod filled with purified skin temperature water and 1,200 pounds of dissolved Epsom salt. I say it just like you dissolved Epsom salt. The health benefits are profound. You'll love it. You can book your first float at urbanfloat.com. Be sure to select the Rehoboth Beach location and use the code FIRSTTIME at checkout to receive 50% off your first float. Float. Renew, refresh, and revive at Urban Float.
You messed up.
I did. But it was pretty clean.
You had to come up for air like three times.
It was like 95% clean, I would say. Maybe 92.
Oh, you did a good job. We'll keep you.
Thomas Davidson was a really good one, too, this morning. I thought that was clean.
Carlos.
Yo, man.
Good hanging with you.
Always.
We had a good time this morning.
It was fun.
We'll keep
the morning ones are good. I'm like caffeined up and everything.
Oh, yeah. you're juiced up. Well, listen, brother. Have a great weekend.
You too.
We'll do this next week.
Sounds good.
All right, pal.
See you. Bye.
Bye.